5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
And welcome to another Tech Talk. And this week it's a special one because we're going to talk about Apple. Hang on, is that really a special version of Tech Talk? I'm just wondering. Let's check in with the guys and see what they think. Robin Christofferson's here from AbilityNet. Hi, Robin.
Hello, happy episode 300.
And 50.
Oh, 350. Oh, that's true.
Oh, it's good to know we all keep up on these things. Tim Schwartz is here from lifeafterblindness.com. Tim Schwartz, how are you?
Hello, Stephen and Robin. I'm okay. I'm cold, I'm tired, but I'm here and ready to talk about Apple.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, I'm, the question is, though, is it something special that we're talking about Apple? It doesn't feel like it.
No.
iPhones only come around once a year.
Yeah, but we certainly string out that conversation, don't we? Okay, Andy's here as well. Emails Andy's here. Hello, Andy. How are you?
Hello, I'm all good and well and happy. I've got a cup of tea in front of me. It's a shame I've got to sit here and listen to you guys talk about Apple for the next hour.
I know. We'll need to maybe get some balance here, get you to maybe say the word Android every so often just to sort of make it feel balanced.
No, we need an outside opinion. Yeah.
I will be critical where need be, believe me.
I like that you're the outsider in this conversation.
He hasn't drunk the Kool-Aid.
More ways than one, yeah.
So, we're going to get into that today. If we have time, we'll get to your emails. I know this is the eye roll point of the show where everyone goes, oh, here we go. Another 3 months to the box of emails gets reopened. Andy's in charge of the email inbox. So, yes, we will attempt to get to those. Also to tell you, coming up today on the show, not just Apple, you'll be pleased to hear, we're also going to be checking in with Madeline Mann. Now, Madeline is from RNIB's Technology for Life team. And every week now on Tech Talk, we are going to be hearing from the team at the Technology for Life team, who you contact via the RNIB helpline. Whenever you call up the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999, or you email the helpline at helpline@rnib.org.uk, you put through to the team at Technology for Life, if you have a technology query, of course. And every week on the show now, we're going to be checking in with them to find out about the queries that you've had and sort of bringing together all of the queries and the most common questions asked to the helpline and giving you those answers to those queries here on Tech Talk. So this week, we're going to be hearing all about Be My Eyes. Now, Be My Eyes, of course, the popular app that many people know about, many don't, though. And if you don't know about Be My Eyes, if you've never downloaded it, if you've never used it, you don't know what you would use it for, then stick around on today's Tech Talk because Madeline Mann is here to give you a full review of the app and how it all works and how you can get it as well. So all that coming up on the show, we are going to get into Apple and, like I say, hopefully some of your emails. Let's get into it, though, because there is quite a lot to unpack. I mean, it's fair to say that this is quite a big event. I think we're all getting a bit sick of hearing about new devices because we get to the Apple event. Usually we would have this a bit earlier in the year, but due to COVID-19, things have been held back a little bit, so everything's a bit out of sync. And normally we'd be all excited about Apple and then we'd be bored at the Google announcements and we'd be bored at the other announcements and bored at this and bored at that. Whereas, you know, we've left Apple to the end and now we're just bored. Well, at least I am. I did enjoy the event. I know we all got together to watch it and we were all kind of like, okay, here we go. So let's maybe talk about what they actually introduced and what our thoughts are, whether it is actually special or not. I think the key thing that came out of the event for me was that iPhones are now 5G. That's really the big news of the day, really, isn't it?
That's the rumor. Yeah. Apparently.
Depending on where you are in the world, I think that's going to have a big impact on this. I think 5G is still very new in regards to its technology. The millimeter wave technology that is available in the States, although not everywhere.
Some parts
of it. I think that's the good 5G. That's like 5G great. You see, I've already started naming these things already.
Oh boy, here we go.
So, you know, 5G great is available in some parts of America. 5G good is available in other parts. And 5G, I was going to say god awful, but that's not probably right.
5G.
Fair to me.
But yeah, so 5G is the big deal. Available across all the phones. I was a bit surprised at that. So from the iPhone 12 Pro Max, they all have 5G. So yeah, Robin, it's good news.
Yeah, I think so. There was concern that the 5G antenna would eat battery, but we were reassured that it would only kick in when, you know, intelligently, when it was faster than the LTE, as you guys call it over there, but we call it 4G, signal isn't as good. And
is that what LTE means over here?
Long-term evolution, yeah. The same.
That said, though, we also have 4G and it's slower than LTE. We have both.
Yeah. Okay. We probably don't have as fast 4G as you then, as your LTE.
But
it's pretty fast, isn't it? Yeah. And also that it would add a lot of money onto the price, but I don't think we've seen that. And I think that's part of the, you know, the benefit of putting it in all the phones is economy of scale. You know, they've been able to order so many of these 5G antennas that it's going to, you know, be less per unit. So the prices haven't gone up, and we can talk about those later.
I mean, I buy coffee pods by the truckload. So are you saying it's like that? So if I buy more coffee pods, then they should get them cheaper.
Yeah, they're only a little bit eye-wateringly expensive, not killingly expensive, yeah.
Okay, like coffee pods.
Yeah.
Yeah. right, okay, so 5G's there. Let's just move on from that, because frankly, what else is there to say? And until we actually have these devices in our hands, until we can actually experience 5G properly, there's really no point speculating around speeds. The phones themselves, though, they have brought out the iPhone 12 mini. There was a lot of talk about it. It's smaller than the iPhone SE, although they said, what I thought was interesting, what they said in the event was it was smaller than the iPhone 8. And I thought, have you forgotten about your own iPhone SE? It's the same phone, really. but it's a smaller phone. It's 5.4 inches in screen diagonal. But in saying that, and you might think, well, hang on, the iPhone SE is 4.7, but it has a large bezel. I mean, you take all that away, what you're left with is a smaller device, and you have these really, it seems to be like a really narrow border around the screen. What appears to be Face ID still exists in all of them. I was hoping for Touch ID in the button, in the same way they did with the iPad Air. Tim, I know you have just gone down the road of getting the iPhone SE, as I did as well. Would the iPhone 12 mini be of interest to you at this point?
Of interest, yes. Am I going to trade in my SE 2020 for it? Probably not. If they had added Touch ID to the lock button, I might have considered it. It would have been much more of an easy decision to make, but we're still talking the mini, the 12 mini comes in about $300 more than the SE at the starting price. So I don't know that it would have been worth it for me at this point. So maybe next year, the year after, I might jump on board, especially once 5G becomes more prevalent, then maybe I'll go ahead and do it, you know, the next go round or two. But right now, I think I'm happy with my SE.
5.4-inch Super Retina XDR display. Now, that's the same display that's inside that really expensive Apple monitor, isn't it? That really... Yep. I mean, obviously, it's cheaper because, you know, it's only a little tiny screen as opposed to a big, massive one. But... yeah, you can also get a slightly larger iPhone 12, which is 6.1-inch. And I think at that point, we're kind of getting back to, you know, typical iPhone 11 sizes and standards. So, you know, we're getting back to that again with Face ID. No difference in feature set either. I think a lot of people thought, as I did, well, the Mini will be a cut-down version of its bigger brother. That doesn't seem to be the case. It seems to be that the difference between the phones is the physical screen size, Robin.
Yep, that seems.
All of the range will have OLED, which, you know, the in quotes, cheaper ones before had LCD, didn't they? So now they're all OLED panels now. Like you say, everything's the same, apart from the size and the price. And the battery life is ever so slightly lower. I think it's 15 hours. They call a continuous video playback versus 17 on the 6.1-inch 12. So, you know, slightly different there, but yeah, pretty much the same phone.
One of the things I did like about it is it has what's considered to be oops resistance, which I like.
Ceramic shield.
Yeah. Well, the ceramic shield is one thing. We'll talk about that in a second, but it is spill proof. And this is a thing. For me, this is very important because most things I own end up in water at some point in their lives. So, you know, for me, this is good news. Splash and spill resistance, even better. H2OK is how it puts it on the Apple website, which I kind of like. And yes, this ceramic shield, which is on it, which apparently helps means that you can drop it from a greater height and it will survive.
Four times as less likely to break. And they've somehow embedded ceramic atoms or molecules or something within the glass.
What does that all mean?
Yeah, it's kind of a, yeah. I like the sound of that, actually. From, you know, being scratch resistant to being shatter resistant, I think this is another, I mean, Gorilla Glass, fine, but I think we've all experienced screens cracking, and it's going to be front and back. So, yeah, I think that's a big bonus.
I've never broken a screen on a device in my life.
I'm only experiencing it from my son.
I've done it once.
It's quite prevalent in breaking stuff.
I did mine once right through a screen of an OtterBox case that should have protected it.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, my iPhone 5 I had in my pocket and was walking down a hallway at my old office. And there was kind of like this railing on the side of the hallway. And I guess I drifted over a little bit too much. And right at the end of the railing, as you meet the railing, you know, like a little nubbin at the end, you know, where it begins, my pocket, because I'm so stinking tall, my pocket hit that end of that railing. And it hit smack dead on in the middle of the screen of the OtterBox case and smashed my iPhone 5 screen. So, yeah.
You think a box of otters would protect it quite well.
You would think a box of otters would protect it, yes. So, which is funny, though, because I still have that phone. The home button is gone. It's now just a little piece of plastic under the glass. The glass is all gone. And the phone still works. The home button still works. I can still swipe now that I've gotten all the glass off of it. It still works fine.
Every time you swipe, you need to go to A&E.
Yeah, exactly.
Swipe right for A&E. Yeah, that's terrifying. But and of course, because it has an Apple badge on it, it's still worth $1,000.
Yeah.
I've never broken a screen on a phone, thank goodness. But I did once, and this was just one of those really horrible experiences in my life. I had bought secondhand a new MacBook Pro, and at the time it was one of the brand new ones with the new fancy Retina displays in it, and I got it home, and because I wanted to protect it, I bought one of these sort of, like, I don't know what you call it, it's like a case that fits onto the screen and then the underside, so it clips on to the underside and to the top on the screen, and I put it all on and I got it all set up, and I think I paid £900 for it, thereabouts. It was a second-hand machine, but still cost money. And I get it home, and I get it all set up, and I'm really happy. And then I realise I haven't quite put the top part of the case on properly. So I take my finger to the bottom left of the monitor edge and just try and kind of lift off the case that's on and clipped on. And as I do it, my finger slips and it actually goes right into the screen. And all I see is this gigantic flash on the screen. Every color under the rainbow appears. I didn't even need Be My Eyes to tell me that machine was screwed. and that was it. The screen was gone. And they said to me it would cost £600 to replace the screen. And I just thought, you know, there's no point wasting my time on this because I'm now going to spend even more money to get it fixed. And it really put me off using it for a lot. Well, I couldn't use it. Well, use it in a way, I guess, with VoiceOver, but it was the most sickening feeling I'd ever had when it happened. I was like, I cannot believe I've just only had it a day, and I couldn't, because it was secondhand, I couldn't take it back. I couldn't, like, go back to the store and say, oops, sorry. They weren't interested. They were just going to charge me full price to get it fixed. Anyway, so that's, hopefully, fingers crossed, with Ceramic Shield, Which sounds like some kind of toilet cleaning product when you think about it. I'm going to use Ceramic Shield and get that shine back.
Turbo scrub.
Yeah, it's a turbo scrub all over. Maybe that's what it is. They've been listening to this show. They've heard me talk about the turbo scrub. Still in its box, by the way. And yeah, maybe that's what it is. Anyway, so that sounds quite interesting. That obviously helps the keep the thing all right. But here's the question. What about power? What's different in this one? What's standing out for you two? Because that bit kind of passed me by, if I'm honest. I wasn't really hearing that this was the better, bigger, and more amazingly powered than previous versions phone. What do you take on that?
Answer came there, none. It's faster, 20% faster, the A14 Bionic.
20% is not faster, is it? I mean, it
you
really
say that, but
I did
Intel,
say that.
Yeah, say it again. Intel are looking at like 1 or 2% each time they bring out a new Coffee Lake, KV Lake, Ice Lake, or whatever it is. You know, so 20% year on year, you know, just 12 months on, is actually pretty impressive. And obviously, if you've had an older phone, you know, a couple of years back, that's going to be huge. Is it enough to, if that was the only reason? Well, all of the recent models of phone have not been slow, have they? They haven't kind of, this phone's slow.
There's no slouch. No, there's no slouch. No. Tim, is that the point? Because I wonder about this. You know, we're at a point where these are very incremental improvements. I know, okay, I take your point about 20% being faster and all that, but they're still fairly incremental improvements. Do you think this type, the iPhone 12, for example, is going to be an upgrade for someone who's maybe on an iPhone 8 or someone who's been holding off and not gone down the route of the iPhone 11 yet?
I think that's exactly who this line of phone is for. I mean, of course, you've got your people that year over year or every 2 years, once they've done, say, a 24-month contract, they just go ahead and get the new phone. So there are going to be those Apple fanboys that do that. However, I think that, yeah, if you are still on anything before an 8, you know, 8 or earlier, it's going to be time to go ahead and do it. Whether you just get last year's phone, you know, the 11 or even the SE, well, the SE won't be discounted yet, but the 11s will be slightly discounted now with the new ones coming out. So, you know, if you want to get into one but don't want or don't need what the iPhone 12 offers, you can get last year's and upgrade and probably be very happy. However, if you want the newest, best, fastest thing, yeah, I think that if you're on an 8 or earlier, this is the time to look. I'd almost argue if you're on like the 10R, maybe, but I think that's still close enough that you don't have to if you don't want to, unless you're looking at the Pro or the Pro Max, which does offer better things that we'll get into in a bit, because those are the phones that are offering some difference other than just, okay, it's faster. We've got a faster modem. We've got faster processing, better screen, you know, better this and that, that are just the same almost as last year, but better, faster. That's the Mini and the 12. But then, of course, the Pro and the Max are offering a little bit more, just like they did with the 11s last year. So that's really where I would look if I was wanting something different than the 10R or 10S or the 11s. That's the higher end is where I would go. But otherwise, yeah, the Mini and the 12 are perfect. If I hadn't gotten the SE earlier this year, I would absolutely be all in on getting an iPhone 12 Mini, just because I was going from the iPhone 7. It was still okay. It wasn't horrible, but I could tell it was needing to move on. And so the 12 Mini, if I hadn't done the SE, would have been perfect.
I think there's a lot of us as blind people that are hanging on to the Touch ID. Touch ID is the Windows,
yes,
7 of Apple products, or Apple parts of Apple products, because I really don't want to let go of Touch ID, and I really like the look of this iPhone 12 Mini, and it's the only thing that's holding me back is the lack of Touch ID. Should I get over this, guys?
Well, what about MagSafe? Is MagSafe, we can talk about that, a good trade-off for losing Touch ID?
No.
So MagSafe, for people who don't know what we're talking about, is...
This is pretty cool.
To do with, yeah. So they've stolen the name from what
themselves.
You used to have on... Yeah, from themselves. on their old MacBooks, the power cable just chunked onto the side of the, with a very satisfying magnet, you know, into place. And so if somebody accidentally knocked the cable, it wouldn't send the laptop flying, it would just disconnect. And they've brought magnets, basically, to the back of the new phones, all four of them that we are going to talk about today, so that when you place it down on those flat charging mats, which I don't recommend because you can misplace them on those.
Yeah.
Whereas a nice little easel one, you can't ever get it wrong. So I'd recommend those. But anyway, you can place it down on this and it kind of chunks into place like a lovely satisfying magnet. And so you'll know that it's always going to be optimally charging. And there are loads of accessories, a lot of which they talked about in the presentation. And they said that there's going to be lots of third party cases and charging accessories and wallets and all sorts of things that will take advantage of these magnets to, you know, make things miraculously stick to the back of your phone, including a car mount, which I think is quite good. So you just, you know, it just clunks there. You don't have to stretch the springy arms to clamp your phone in place when you're driving and that sort of thing. Not that we would do that.
No.
Be driving, that is. But so yeah,
we'd be playing with the springy thing. Yeah,
that's right. So that's good, I think. And we you know, air power, we were expecting for a long time that fabled charging mat that you could just chuck things down on, and that was discontinued. But they have a new thing, the MagSafe Duo, which is a charging mat which can take a phone and your watch, and because of the magnets, you won't misplace your phone. It'll just chunk down on one side and the watch will get magnetically plonked onto the other side, and you can fold it up and take it with you for carrying. So that was a nice product that was an example of how these new magnets on the back of the phones can be used. So that's a nice feature. And
that's a really long way around to say you think I should get over Touch ID. And actually, I've got to say, I'm a huge fan of accessories, as you know. I mean, as much as I love my gadgets, I love accessories just as much. And the idea of, you know, all these, I mean, the wallet one sounds brilliant. I love the sound of that. I have no idea why, but I just do. I love the idea that these MagSafe chargers that you can just snap on the back. Yeah, that really appeals. And I think, Tim, I think that makes it the new blind iPhone, actually, because that's a brilliant feature for us.
I think that combining that with what we talked about with the screen and the water resistance and the spill proofness of it, so the dropping ability of some of us, I'm not saying that that's a blind thing, but it just seems to happen, at least to me, more often than my sighted friends.
Yeah, I think it happens a lot to us. It does.
It does happen a lot. Dropping, knocking it over, you know, you set your phone down on something and you just knock it over, or, you know, like I tend to do with cups of water, you know, knock them over all over the place. We won't get into all my fried keyboards. Yes, exactly.
Throwing a cup of water,
So, I mean, I think adding all of that up with the MagSafe and all those other protective, you know, the protective nature of these new phones, absolutely. I mean, if you want a bigger screen, great. If you want the smaller screen, great. You've got options. And I think that any of these could be the new blind phone, especially probably the iPhone 12 mini, because a lot of us with little or no vision tend to like the smaller screen size because there's less real estate to have to navigate. That's the whole iPad conversation again, you know, of if you've got vision, maybe you want to use an iPad, but if you have no vision or very little vision, it's a lot of real estate to cover and it's maybe not necessary. So yeah, I'm intrigued by this. And to answer again, as I said before, no, it doesn't necessarily replace the idea of loss of Touch ID. Now that they've proven that they can do Touch ID in a lock button, I'm interested to see them do it in a phone. So I'm hoping maybe next year or going forward, maybe it was just one of those things where they wanted to try it out, see how people liked it or not, see if people were interested in the idea of having it in the lock button. And hopefully that has gone well and that they've gotten good feedback and they'll add it in a few future phone. But at this point, I'm still interested in Touch ID. I don't have a problem with Face ID. My wife has it with her iPhone 11 or 11 Pro, and she doesn't mind it. She likes Face ID, but she's even said she'd like to have the option of doing both. And so I think that they kind of do need to look at that going forward. But I'm intrigued with the MagSafe. The first thing I thought of was the tripods that I've used for my iPhone. So if I want to do recording a video or something, I've got a little tripod, like Robin was talking about, with those mounts for the car where they have these jaws of life kind of things that clip onto the side of your phone.
You snap that thing
and miss it, and your finger's in there. You've lost a fingernail. So I like the idea of maybe getting a new tripod that I can just click it, just magnetize it, right on there, and it stays and it's safe, and I don't have to pry that thing apart and snap it on my finger. And all
the accessories are going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah.
I am going to be bankrupt this time next month. I sense that.
He's not buying a new phone, just all these accessories.
Just all the accessories.
Anything to do
well, we'll come to that at the end, because I want to do that. I want to talk at the end about what we might do. I think we know Tim's answer, although I'm not entirely convinced on that one. We'll come back to that.
Neither am I.
But the Touch ID thing, just one final point on that from me. My prediction for next year, for 2021 right now, this is recording, isn't it? Yes. I'm going to record this and we'll keep this. Andy, take a note. This is very important. My prediction for 2021 is that the iPhone SE, which will be third edition by that point, will not have Face ID, but it will have Touch ID via the button in the iPhone 12 mini style.
You think that an SE will come out again already in 2021?
Maybe 22. I think they're going to skip. I don't know. I think
an SE is going to be a 2-year cycle. I might be wrong on that. Maybe they'll do it every year, but I don't know. I just feel like, because they had so much time between the first one and the second one, and that might just be design. That just might be, what do we really want to do this or not, and making that decision. So who knows what they're going to do going forward, but I almost feel like an SE almost should be every other year thing.
They have to keep it because it's at $399, and there's a price every 100 going up. Right up from the 399. So
yeah, they've got the iPhone SE, the 10R, then the 11,
yep,
then the 12 and the mini, 12 then mini, the 12. Yeah, and on it goes. Okay, and also just for anyone who wants to, and I'm only going by what I'm hearing here, but my sense of the iPhone 12 mini, which you might be guessing is the one I'm in love with, it is very much the original iPhone SE style. And size as well. I saw a few people actually saying, I'd love to, really hope that they would come back with an iPhone of that style and size. That iPhone SE, the original one, was built like a brick as well. That was a well-built phone. And, that style and size again, oh, gorgeous. That is going to be lovely. Just wish they'd put Touch ID in it, but never mind. I'll get over it. I promise you I'll get over it. let's talk about the pros. I mean, look, essentially, more, better. Is the thing with the Pros range, and really, and they said it themselves, this is the photographer's iPhone, because they've put so much effort into the cameras, into the camera array, which makes perfect sense, I guess. Where's the value for us as blind people with an iPhone 12 Pro and Pro Max?
So we could talk about feeds and speeds, because they do have, more cores, particularly in the GPUs. It can do certain, record video in certain ways faster, better, etc. But yeah, you're absolutely right. For us, the telephoto lens only comes in the Pro cameras, in the Pro phones, so that's an extra, that's a third camera. We don't care about that. The LiDAR, which only comes in the Pros, I actually do care about a lot, and that's because they mentioned in the event an API, a developer's API. So there will be, it's opened up to app developers to use the LiDAR. Now, why is that a big deal? It maps your environment, and the closer you are, i.e. in a room of, say, up to 5 meters, it can map it, all the surfaces, all of the measurements of the things it's mapping, their distances to you, their orientation, very, very accurately. And the further out you go, the less accurately, but big things, it'll definitely still be able to see where they are and kind of provide that information to the app. So yeah, I think we're going to see indoor mobility apps, outdoor mobility apps using this API, because nobody has done it for the iPad, which has LiDAR, because nobody walks around carrying an iPad in front of them. So the developers just haven't had the the Measure app uses it, Apple's own, and I'm sure there are others for interior designers and stuff like that, but not for, kind of, certainly not in our area with mobility and navigation. But yeah, I'm really excited about that. I don't know whether they'll jump on quickly. Hopefully they will, because, you know, this is a gift. It's on a phone. Are you not excited?
Yeah. I'll be more excited when developers do something with it. If you tell me that, you know, Microsoft adds LiDAR support for Soundscape or Seeing AI so that maybe you can identify objects in a room much better, more quickly, more accurately, and that, you know, in addition to their own, you know, technology identifying objects, that LiDAR is scanning that room, mapping that room, and getting more information for an app like that, then yeah, I'll start to get excited. But I want to wait and see who adopts it, who uses it, what do they use it for? Is it going to be what Apple is thinking and hoping it's going to be? Because this honestly is their follow-up to AR, because they really have put all their money into AR as well. And I don't know. I mean, if this was in, say, a pair of Apple glasses, and it could map everything that I'm looking at and give me some sort of feedback in an app like Seeing AI or Soundscape or something like that, then, yeah, I could be interested as a blind person in getting the Pro or the Pro Max. Otherwise, everything else you said, Robin, yeah, I mean, it's about the speeds and the camera. That's really now 2 years running at least. What the pros have been is a better camera. When my wife was looking at upgrading from her old phone, she had a 7 as well. She was looking between the 10 line and the 11s, and she started looking at the 11 Pro, and she's like, well, I love taking pictures. I love doing video. This 11 Pro, she's like, I don't need the Max. That's too big, but I want this extra ability of what the 11 Pro offers. And I think that's the same thing here. So if you are somebody who's a photo or video enthusiast, you take a lot of video, a lot of photos, you know, high action, you know, high speed, you want better quality audio. They've added Dolby Vision now with this, which should really enhance the quality visually and audibly of the videos and the high quality, you know, of everything really that it can do. Excuse me. That I think that that's where those people need to go is the Pro or the Pro Max. If you're not into photography, you're not into video, or you're just happy to have basic photography and basic video, it's not really a main thing for you, a main fixture that you need, then no, the Mini or the 12, I think, are perfectly fine until, like Robin says, we find more about LiDAR and what it can do in actual real-life search situations and apps.
Watch this space.
Yeah, yes. I agree with you. I just think it's a bit early in this in this particular journey for that. I think if you were buying
it's like 5G, it's too early.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's if you're buying it, well, that's actually a really good point. I mean, if you're buying this phone for 5G, you're probably too early. If you're buying this phone because you want to try LiDAR, i.e. the Pro line, then you're way too early. So if those are your two interests at the moment, I would wait till next year,
well,
if I'm honest.
I mean, it depends, you see. If you're ready for a new phone, then even though it is too early for those, you know, for us to get the benefits of those, the full benefits, how long are you going to have that phone? 3 years? So,
have we met?
Yeah, not you. I'm not talking about
the average how long smartphone user. Yeah, it's going to be 2 or 3 years at least.
Yeah.
I've still got my 8, so I mean, I think...
Not for long.
I think definitely the time. Also, we should say that if people are wondering, well, you know, what's the mainstream use of LiDAR? You know, what on earth? You know, people aren't going to be using it for measuring things. It's to help with focus. Like Tim was saying, it's for photography, particularly in low light. So if you are a blind person who's not even a photographer, but just a snapper, then this will give you better snaps. You know, you can have more confidence that you can just point and shoot. So, you know, if that's important to you. The other main differences are a nice stainless steel band around the edge rather than aluminium. And people do say that does look really sexy and shiny and kind of really lustrous. So
I hear the bottom of a barrel being scraped.
Well, it depends what's important to some people. And I actually am really keen to see how you can, I know you like your accessories, but how easily you can now hold this without it feeling like a bar of soap that's going to, you know, jump out of your hand because of the flat sides. So,
and the size as well, once you get to the Pro Max.
Yeah, true. So if you're going to carry it around naked and without a case on your phone, then maybe, you know, the looks are important.
Nobody's going to walk around with this naked. Nobody. You're going to spend 1,200 quid on a phone.
Well, you've got ceramic shield now, you see.
This is the problem with all this stuff. You do that and then you buy a 10 quid case from Amazon and you whack it on there. You know, it doesn't make any difference at all. Look, Andy's been very quiet on this, and I know why, because he probably would rather do anything else than talk about this. But
wake up, Andy.
Yeah, come on, Andy.
We'll finish with this love fest.
Yeah. No, listen, there's only one love fest at the moment, and that's for the iPhone 12 mini, okay? That's the only one I have interest in. Look, actually, do you know what? We will take a break from talking about the iPhones. We're going to come back and talk about the other big product, of course, which was the HomePod mini. We'll get to that shortly. But first, let's turn to the Technology for Life team, who every week now will be bringing us a feature on an app or a service or a piece of technology that you have been asking about through the RNIB helpline. This week, we're going to hear about the Be My Eyes app, courtesy of Madeline Mann from RNIB's Technology for Life team.
Hi, my name is Madeline. I'm working for the Tech for Life team, and I'm recording this week's feature about the app that some of us know and some of us still don't know, and it's becoming ever so incredibly helpful for us to have. It's called Be My Eyes. Be My Eyes is an app that helps blind and partially sighted people to get help wherever they are. Whether you get lost somewhere and you just wanted to have somebody describe what's around you, although there are more specific apps to let you do that, or you are at home and something is not quite where it should be, or you have that tin and you can't find the barcode to read it and wanted Be My Eyes support to give you some assistance, Be My Eyes is always there, day or night. Be My Eyes is working on Android and on Apple. So if you would like to get Be My Eyes, please go to the App Store on your Apple device or go to the Google Play Store on your Android device. Type in Be My Eyes and you can download the app. It will ask you whether you are allowing notifications to be pushed through to your phone and whether you would like to share your location. And it might ask you some other questions you just whiz through as you normally do when installing your app. When you then have the app installed, you can choose whether you are a volunteer that provides us with all the help that we require or whether you are a blind person that needs the assistance. In my case, I opted for being a blind person because I am. And when I open my app now, I am just placed into a window that it says whether I seek assistance now or I need specialist help. When you first launch the app, you can either choose to
call first available volunteer.
Yes, call the first available volunteer or
specialized help.
You can get specialized help. That is a rather new feature within Be My Eyes, where you can either choose to get some help about your personal health, or you can contact some partner organizations to get some help from them, or technology help. Let's explore this a little. So I'm going to specialist help now.
Settings, specialized in progress. Search. Search field. Action. Technical. Blindness organizations.
Well, as we do, we might want to connect to people that work in blindness organizations.
Search. Search field. Up heavy.
I am quite sure this list will grow extensively over the next couple of months or years. The first I have up here is Galloway. Then I have the Hadley Institute of Blind People. A really nice and nifty feature is it tells you whether it's open right now or it's closed. And then you've got RNIB. So if you feel you have any related issues to do with any blindness matters, please don't hesitate and give us a call or ring other organizations. I need to highlight the details about getting personal health information. All women that are listening at the moment have issues where they sometimes need to find out some health-related status. For example, this deals with Clear Blue and pregnancy tests. So I think it's an incredible, useful feature in the app that we can connect to Clear Blue ourselves to get some pregnancy test results if we wish to get that. I think this is incredible because we don't need to speak to anybody. We don't need to seek anyone to talk to in confidence. We can speak to somebody we don't know and get the related information. Now, technology help just works like I've just opened this window here. I can open that for you.
Search for technical button.
It's anything to do with technical.
Search Microsoft. Google, be my eyes closed.
So if you need to speak to Be My Eyes or to Microsoft or Google, please don't hesitate to use these services. It's so often that I sit on a computer and I want to install something and for some reason my speech doesn't talk to me or something doesn't work the way it should. And this is a quick link to Microsoft and you get straight through to a team of specialist people that are always there to help you straight away. So whilst I think Be My Eyes, everybody knows it somehow, I'm not quite sure that everybody knows about the specialist help. So where we covered the specialist help feature, now Be My Eyes in general, you can of course use 24/7. You can dial through to your next available volunteer and there's always somebody there to help you with any issue that you face in life where you might need some assistance. And sometimes we think there might not be many issues that we can solve over the phone. But then think again, because the phone has such brilliant cameras these days that we can speak to somebody straight away that can normally help us with every detail that we need to be solved here and then. That is quite important at the moment where lockdown is still in place in many places of England at the moment and urgent and immediate help might not be as readily available as it usually is. So please don't hesitate. Get the Be My Eyes app for your phone or tablet and please don't hesitate to get the help when you need it. I hope that helped you, but please, if you need any advice or more assistance, don't hesitate to call the Technology for Life team. Just ring the helpline on 0303 123 9999 or send an email to tfl@rnib.org.uk. Thank you.
And as Madeline says, you can get in touch with the Technology for Life team by calling the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999. Or you can email the helpline at any time. You can get in touch with them by emailing helpline@rnib.org.uk. And just a reminder of the opening times, you can call the helpline on that phone number I gave you, 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. weekdays, and you can also find the helpline open on a Saturday, 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. But as I say, you can email anytime and get a response during those hours. You're listening to Tech Talk here on RNIB Connect Radio. You can find us every single week on RNIB Connect Radio Tuesday from 1 p.m. You can also listen to the show on repeat as well at different points during the week, including Thursdays at 7 p.m. and on Saturdays at 5 p.m. And you can download this show as a podcast if you're listening to us on Freeview 730. Listen to this show and previous episodes by going to audioboom.com and searching for RNIB Tech Talk, or find us wherever you get your podcasts by searching again for RNIB Tech Talk. I've got Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet, I've got Tim Schwartz from lifeafterblindness.com, and I've got Emails Andy as well. And we're talking about Apple this week and all of the joyous tech that was announced last week. And I want to talk about the other big star of the show, or should I say small star of the show. Now, this came out first, which I'm surprised at. I thought they would leap straight into the iPhones, but they didn't. They launched straight in with the brand new HomePod Mini. At this point, I was dancing around the room because I was so excited that they had launched this. I don't really know why. if I'm honest. I have already got a pair of HomePod Big, as they're now known, and they're brilliant. I love them. I love them. Sound is amazing. Siri is okay. And that's ultimately the biggest problem with these, that the assistant built in. If they could put Lady A in there, it'd be a brilliant. Yeah. But that's not going to happen anytime soon. But yeah, the HomePods Big are great. HomePod Minis, well, we'll need to wait and see. But £99 is the cost, so that is that's like sweetie money for Apple, really, isn't it?
Buy a dozen. Yeah. So if you bought two, then they have this new U1 chip in, which can very accurately detect how close things are. And so if it detects two close enough together, it instantly forms a stereo pair. And if you put your phone that's playing music near enough to it, it'll automatically pick up that song on the speaker as well. So there's some nice new features with these as well.
And in terms of design, now I've... I was trying to think what this thing, based on what people have been telling me, it's like a small, almost Echo style. They've gone for the ball shape. But it's got a kind of flat edge, hasn't it, at the top? So it's kind of flat at the top.
And the bottom, I think, too, right?
Yeah. Oh, is it? It right, okay. Roll away.
It's like a full sphere that's had, like the top and bottom sliced off. Like,
so. An orange that's just, you slice off
three
the top
and a half inches.
Bottom and top,
Right.
Yeah, it's very small.
Is that like those things that you put your detergent in and you chuck it into the washing machine? Is that the design they've gone for?
Exactly.
This does appeal to me. I don't know why. This is just geek heaven, really, for the sake of it.
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way. When they announced it, and even knowing it was coming, I'm really excited about it. And like you, Stephen, I don't know why. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, like 4 or 5 Echoes in this house. My wife is not going to let me buy an iPhone or not iPhone, a HomePod Mini. Unless I get rid of all of these Alexas that we have. Oh, I said the word. Thank God. I always do that.
Dun,
Lady dun, A's, dun. Pardon me. But no, I mean, I've already been looking, okay, how much can I trade in these old Echoes that I've got and maybe go to a HomePod, but then I'll still have other Echoes in the house. So I don't really want a mixed ecosystem, but I don't want to go away from the Echo ecosystem. So...
If the echoes are doing it for you audio quality wise, then I can't really see any benefit.
Yeah.
Unless you just like, cool stuff. Oh, and by the way, they light up, they glow inside the fabric. No, people are saying they're like glowing candles or something. But
everything about these is designed so you're not just buying one as well. I mean, you take into consideration the price, the fact that they were saying in the video they can become a stereo pair, like Robin said, this new feature called Intercom that they're selling. Everything about it is, hey, you're going to buy 4 or 5 of these, aren't you?
It made me laugh when they said, we've got this feature, right, so you can contact other people in other places. I'm like, hang on a minute, have I already got this? Is my house not already into life every time someone says announce?
Exactly. Well, and I think that's the case, though, here, because as we know, or maybe some people don't know, when they were designing the HomePod originally many years ago, it was to just be a high-quality audio, powerful speaker. And they threw Siri in there to give it some smart, features. But it was being designed shortly before the Echoes came out. And so they've had to play catch up with this. And I think that's what the HomePod Mini is them saying, all right, we've made Siri better, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We swear we have. And we've added Intercom and we've added profiles so the HomePod Mini can recognize the voice of the person talking, which I've been calling for since they first launched this, so that it knows who's speaking. You can ask it to play a certain playlist. It knows that it's you and it plays your playlist as opposed to somebody else.
Like,
so we'll see how well that works. Like the A-Lady kind of can do.
Playlist, certainly, yeah.
Well, yeah, but it seems like I always have to switch profiles to make that really work properly. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always detect that it's me, my wife, or my kid. So we'll see if Apple's doing it better. But either way, these are the features that we wanted to see there in the beginning. And I think they're playing catch up to Amazon and finally saying, okay, we, for $100, can give you something that's going to be superior, supposedly, in audio quality and sound. And if you pair it with others, it'll be, fantastic, better than an Echo, they claim, probably. And now we're starting to see features of an Echo or a Google Home. So, yeah, I want one desperately, but I don't want to switch ecosystems. I don't know what to do.
Well, I mean, they can live beside each other. And that's one thing. I often felt this with Google as well. I mean, yeah. I must admit, I'm probably more likely to have an Amazon Echo / HomePod / Siri set up in my home than an Amazon Echo / Google Home set up, because mm-hmm. I think those two are too similar. So you really do want to pick a side on that front. I mean, although, yeah, again, they can live beside each other. Of course they can, and you could use them for different things, but it might just feel a bit over the top. Whereas with the Siri thing and the HomePod, it really is built for music. That really is entertainment value. Yep. I mean, I think what I like about the new HomePod minis primarily is I think a lot of people listening to this will not have HomePods. I'm going to just guess that, right? And right. people will be thinking, well, I didn't buy a HomePod because it was $279 for one. They were trying to always get me to buy two. So you're way beyond 500 quid. And it just seemed out of reach for most people. I think this is going to make it far more accessible to more people in the way the original Echo was around
this
£50.
This is the big headline, isn't it? The price.
It is, yeah. Price is good. I mean, it could be cheaper. But then we always say that about Apple products. Apple always do this. They want to make you feel like you're buying premium, so they slap on a premium price. It's for our own good, guys.
Sure it is.
So we feel better about buying that product. I spend more money, therefore I get better product.
If they start to bolster the app experience with the HomePod or HomePod Mini to where it's as rich as skills are for the Echo, and then and maybe it has this and I don't know, but if the HomePods were to be able to connect with your Apple TV and do voice control and voice, you know, things with Siri through the HomePod and your Apple TV, which it might do, I don't know, but if it doesn't, if that were to ever be put in there to control my Apple TV to navigate, to ask for things, so I don't have to use the Apple TV remote, I can just use my HomePod.
That's got to be a feature coming, hasn't it? I mean,
it's got to be. It just makes sense that it would be.
There's a sense of this,
if they did that and added an app, you know, a richer app systems for games and productivity and other things. For $99, I absolutely would. Well, I would do it.
I can tell you, you're getting very close to that, because they have announced just in the last few days, they've announced that the HomePods, not discussing the HomePod Minis yet, but the HomePods, if you have two, as I do, and I've got an Apple TV, you can now set them as, you could always bounce the sound to them. You could choose the source of audio to be the HomePods for audio. You can now actually force it to be the only source. So as soon as you switch on your Apple TV, it automatically bounces to the HomePod, which I kind of like. But the problem with all this, I mean, I think that's all great and wonderful. Maybe this is a conversation for another day, but I think this is where a lot of these ecosystems start to become problematic. Because especially in TV world, you know, I don't just have an Apple TV box. I've got a TV, which is made by Samsung. I've got a Skybox. I've got my Apple TV connected to that. I've got a DVD player for when I need it. And those don't all route the way you want. You can't just take all that sound and output it to your HomePods. You have to, and it's the same with the Amazon Echo. If you have an Amazon Fire Stick and you bought the Amazon Studios, then you would have a situation where you can bounce the audio from the Fire Stick to the Amazon Echo Studios, but you can't put any other audio from the TV in there, so your Skybox doesn't get to that. So these are the kind of problems that we're facing. You know, first world problems for sure.
Yes.
But, you know, I've been back to the HomePods. I think the HomePod Minis are an absolute bargain, to be honest, and for Apple money. And
if anybody was looking to get into the HomePod ecosystem, you know, adding to what they have with Apple, if you've not done Echo or Google, or even if you have, like you said, Stephen, you can have both. I mean, I have a Fire TV Cube along with my Apple TV and my DVD and all those things like you talked about. So you can do it. But, yeah, if you're looking to do it, this is the time to do it with the Mini. I think that was the most exciting thing outside of the iPhone 12 Mini for me from the entire event. I was really pleased that they did this with the HomePod and realized they needed to do something additional, you know, with it.
Okay, so we've got about 9 minutes left. Andy, I think we have to put the emails back in the box for another week. Sorry, guys.
Oh, you're not just disappointing me, you're disappointing everyone else.
You're disappointing yourself. You're letting yourself down.
All those people who just tune in just to hear the jingle and gone.
Well, we can play the jingle.
We can play the jingle. There we go. There's a jingle for you, right?
Now we've got to start doing emails now.
Oh, is that the key to the box, is it? Is that what
we've
it is?
It.
Is that
the
like
ding
a password?
Dong actually opens the box. Wait, that came out wrong.
As that's played, As that's playing, the box is opening. Yeah, I get it.
Yes. That's what I meant. That to
I think that's where you're heading there. Yeah, yeah. We'll just move on
from
that.
Sorry, Andy.
Let's talk about then what we might want to buy. I know we kind of touched on this at the start. Tim, you're saying you're happy with your SE. You would have liked to get the iPhone 12 mini. So are you, after this hour, are you thinking, well, you know, maybe I should just get rid of this SE, get it sold, get myself something new?
It depends on how much I could get trade in for my SE and my 7 that I actually meant to trade in when I bought the SE, and I never sent it back. So they sent me a box and everything, and I missed it and never sent it back. So depending on how much money I could get for the SE and my 7 combined, maybe, but
I'll get it sold.
I don't know.
Come on.
I mean, my SE's got the chip from last year. It's got the chip from the iPhone 11 in there. It's
boring.
Very fast. It's very nice. It's got Touch ID, not boring. If the 12 mini had Touch ID and 5G was more prevalent over here, maybe, yeah. But it's $300 more than the SE was. Again, if I hadn't purchased the SE when I did, I probably would be getting the iPhone 12 mini.
Hands down, the 12 mini. Mm-hmm. That's what I would go for.
Andy, what are you going to get?
Absolutely nothing.
I had a feeling you might say that.
Yep. It's going to take something absolutely monumental for me to come back to Apple. And that's not out of hatred or anything. That's just I'm missing the company giving the wow factor.
And that is what we call in this business balance.
That is, yeah.
As far as it goes in regards to balance. There you go. That's that's the Android guy right there.
Hello.
Yeah. He is the one solitary Android user standing in a field in the middle of Britain. But no, it was an interesting event. I enjoyed it. And I've got to say one final thing, which I really should have said up top. And, you know, we like to slag Apple. We like to poke all these companies as we go along. But the one thing I'll say about Apple on this that I think makes them stand out from all the other companies was when we all watched this event together, that event, as it happened, was fully audio described.
Yes.
And that was amazing that was even a factor. I mean, you can understand the adverts being accessible. You can understand the promo videos afterwards that go on to the website that even appear on television. But to actually have the full event audio described is a real commitment to accessibility. Look, guys, we're out of time. We will be back next week, and we'll be discussing lots more. And we'll even get to your emails as well. Might even do an email special for you next week. How about that? And then we'll get through lots of emails next week. Otherwise, Andy's going to have my guts for garters. That is it from me. That is it from Robin. And Tim, of course. Robin is from AbilityNet. Tim, lifeafterblindness.com. Emails Andy. All of us back again next week for another Tech Talk. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.